sorry, Perek Yud, Pasuk Chof Chas over here, it says, Vayashmet Yehu was a Baal Yisrael, he destroyed all the Baal from Bnei Yisrael. Rakhla to Eyu, Rav Ben Avot, Yisrael, Yisrael, Losorchi, Umecharem. Crazy, right? The sins of Rav Ben Avot, that it caused the Jews to sin with the Egle Ezov, he still didn't remove them. Egle Ezov, Asher Beisel, Asher Bedon, the one in Beisel and the one in Bedon. It's unbelievable. He knew that it was wrong, Yehu. And not, yet nonetheless,
did he get rid of everything except for those?
And the reason why is because, again, it could be that the people honestly believe that this is a form of worshipping HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like the Kruvim. We explained that before.
They put other Kruvim
up places. It's Kiivu. It's like the Kruvim of the Beis HaMikdash. They made their own of Egle Azov. And the reason why it was an Egel instead of whatever, because the shore was the sign of Malchus Yosef, right? Malchus Ephraim. And that's the reason why. They had reasons for it. It's just crazy that nobody figured out that it was Egle Azov.
Yeah, but maybe like the Baal was like an epidemic. And Egle Azov was like, oh, somebody was in the area, they might stop by and take a look at that.
No, it was designed for Alila Regal.
Right, but it's also the goat.
It seems like oldest idol.
Generation.
It's the oldest idol in Eretz Yisrael. The oldest one.
Right, but it seems like the Baal was like the biggest.
There's no question. And Baal there's no question about that.
The Baal is a more recent thing that there's an issue with, whereas like the Egle Azov, like they already got whacked for big time. They know the story from Har Sinai. Like they know what happened.
And also the Baal was like the surrounding religions of like the other people who were all involved. Nobody worshipped Egle Azov.
It's just, no, you're right, that it could be that they weren't used as extensively. Maybe that's why Yehu is there. In the end, it's going to be a problem for Yehu. Because he did the right thing in my eyes, you've done everything that my heart told you to do. You are promised four generations that are going to be sitting there on the Kisei Yisrael. Now, this was told to Yehu through Yonah again. Yonah appeared in front of him again and told him that he was going to have four kids altogether. Yehoahaz, Yehoash, Yerubam, and Zechariah.
So
those are the four people that are going to be in charge.
Why did it say that God said it through somebody else? And not
so that's a good question. But it wasn't Yehu. It wasn't Yehu directly. Yeah, it wasn't Yehu directly. That we know. However, Yehu did not continue to go in the ways of the Torah of Hashem Elokeinu with all of his heart. Now, that is a good line. He didn't go b'chol levavo, but he did do other things. He did not turn away from the chatzos of Yerubam that caused the Jews to sin. In those days, right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would start to cut down Bnei Yisrael, meaning the Shvatim of Bnei Yisrael. Mayakim Chazol b'chol gvo Yisrael. Chazol started killing them from all around. Remember Chazol from Aram. Meaning Yardim Mizrach Hashem, which is Kol Eretz HaGilad, from the Jordan toward the east of the sun, all the land of the Gilad, Agadi, Varuveni, Vamanashi, Maro, Era, Sheral, Nachal, Arno, Vagilad, Vabashan, they started to be exiled. The very first exile of any part of Klal Yisrael was, of course, the people that were in Aver HaYarden on the other side of the Jordan River.
To fight back?
I'm sorry? I'm sure he did, but this is on the other side. We don't even know. The big thing about this is that we don't know what was going on with Gad, Reuben, and Chatzishev and Menashe this entire time. We haven't been involved with them. At times, though, Amon and Moab were there. Right? Remember, even by the times of Eun Ben Gera, right, when they went, Amon was already over the Jordan River, which means they had already passed the east side of the Jordan River. There were times where Gad, Reuben, and Chatzishev and Menashe probably were completely decimated by enemies. We don't nothing about what was happening over there. Literally nothing.
All we know is what the Talmud says, and usually it revolves around the king and what the king is, but I guess presumably, I mean, they didn't have...
No, they probably didn't have phones.
This was part of the previous
rule not at all, right? Because he was told that he was
going to... If he was going to fight against Bnei Yisrael, he was going to do worse than anybody else. He started the first Golos. Chazal was the first Golos of Klal Yisrael. That's what it means. It could be because Reuben got and Chatzishev and Menashe were not as big anymore. It could be that's the reason why. We don't know. The rest of Yehu, everything he did, which of course we don't have. He slept with his fathers, and they buried in the Shomron. Now this could be a good thing because his fathers may have been tzaddikim together with everything else. Remember, he wasn't related to the whole Achav cult. His son reigned after him. So by son of Bishamon. He was the king over Bnei Yisrael for 28 years altogether. Unfortunately, in Divrei Yamin, in the Malchus Beis Yisrael, the Gemara says that it did lead to worse averus. Either number one, it's because he started worshiping the golden calves, right? Since he said it, it has to be fulfilled. He said, I'm going to worship Harbe, and he was a big enough tzaddik that his words were taken seriously in Shemayim. Or it could be that he was convinced by the signature of Achia HaShiloni. Remember, Achia HaShiloni signed that paper that said, I'm with your Rav Minavot, and everything he did. It could be that hit him over there as well. It could be that Aniyehu's court is mentioned among the seven courts that worshipped Avodah Zarah at the time of the Malchus Beis Yisrael. So it could be this is all part of it. I have absolutely no idea. Nonetheless, that goes to the Ivar Yardin was considered serious.
If someone comes in for a meeting, can you tell them to go to the side or something?
Oh, okay, yeah.
Is Yair the only king of Israel who doesn't say Vayas HaRav Yair Hashem?
You know, we haven't seen it. We've seen it by almost everybody. So let's look for it.
He didn't keep the Torah of Hashem with all of his heart, and he didn't turn away from the sins of Yerav.
Yeah, we're definitely going to have to look for that. But let's look for that out. But Asalia im Achazio. Now Asalia was the mother of Achazia. Also, Kimes Benah. She saw that her son had died. Right, what's his name? Had just killed him. Right, Yehu had just killed him. But talking about Abedis Kol Zera Mamlacha, she got up and she destroyed all the other children of the kingdom of David HaMelech. Now remember, Asalia was a daughter of Achav and Izebel. She was heir to their wickedness, right? She went and murdered her own grandchildren so that she could take the throne to herself and she'd be able to be there. Now, the fact is, at this point, David HaMelech's house was almost nearly completely wiped out because of all the people that had happened over there, because of all the people that had married into Achav's family. And even though he had all these children and everything like that, but Yehoram ben Yehoshaphat had killed all of his brothers. Remember that. Yehoram ben Yehoshaphat killed every single one of his brothers. They were all gone.
Yeah, but it seems then, like we're pretty far down from the generation of David now.
You think that there are other people.
Other kids of other lines.
And there's no question, but when we're talking about Nushin, not Pilagshin, the actual children of David Melech would be Royu Lamamlacha, may have been much, much less than that. And that's what it seems over here. Remember, after that, Yehoram lost every single one of his brothers to the Arabs. That's what we said up above. The Aravim had went ahead and killed them, right? Since they had married into Ahab's family, a lot of their family then was killed. So really, there was barely anything left in David HaMelech's kingdom that was there. And it's funny, isn't it, that Achav still survives through the one son that's going to be left over here. There's going to be one son left, and that's that. Now, for David HaMelech, I'm sorry. But that's what's going to be over here. Now, why did this happen? Midik Neganida. David HaMelech had wiped out the city of Novir HaKohanim. Now, what do you mean? David HaMelech didn't do it. It was Shaul HaMelech that ended up doing it. Nonetheless, David HaMelech was held responsible. There are Shilas Vitshuvas. It's unbelievable. If a woman, Chassam Sofer brings this down, if a woman turns over on her bed and kills a child accidentally in the middle of the night, right? Does she have to do... No, that's definitely not. Yeah. But does she have to do tshuva for what she had done? If a person, listen to this, is brought down by the Tzemach Tzedek, and Shilas Tzedek Tzemach Tzedek, for sure. Shilas Tzedek Tzemach Tzedek says, if you send a person on a mission to go somewhere, a shliach, to go get you something, you send somebody to Jewel, right? You ask them, can you go grab something for Jewel from me? And the person dies in a car accident on the way there or back, are you responsible for that death? Amazing Shilas. And the answer, yes, from David and Novir HaKohanim. David HaMelech was not even indirectly responsible for what happened in Novir HaKohanim. There was no reason for Shaul HaMelech to have killed everybody else, but nonetheless, because the Siba of David HaMelech was enough for Shaul HaMelech to think that he should destroy Novir HaKohanim, David HaMelech was blamed and punished. Says that Tzemach Tzedek and the Chassam Sofer Lahalacha, that so too, that punishment goes to anybody else. Now, you have to put it.
Did you just use the Tzemach Tzedek and the...
I think there's a bunch of others, but yes. Maram Shif also.
I like how you say.
Do we know that it's supposed to be written? I don't remember in the Navi that he is or was going to be
conquered. Did David HaMelech?
Yeah.
Citizen.
Nefer Nov. Yishvi Benov, which is a Gemara in Sanhedrin, that Tzadi HaMelech, when he fought the giants, that was the brother of Goliath. The name of the giant was Yishvi Benov. He was called Benov because of Novir HaKohanim. That we have, but we don't have anything that's straight out because of Novir HaKohanim. That's that.
So this is a little speculation.
No, what?
Please.
That David was
punished. Well, think of what happened. Novir HaKohanim, how many people survived?
One.
One child of Achimelech. Because of that, one child of David HaMelech is going to survive. And that's that. There we go.
It's like the 70 before.
And that's that. So here, check it out. Think of Yosheva Bas HaMelech Yoram. So look at this. Yosheva, the daughter of the king Yehoram. Achos Achaziahu, the sister of Achaziah. Now let's look at that again. This is the daughter of King Yoram, right, the daughter of King Yoram, right, Yosheba, the sister of Ahaziah, she took Yoash ben Ahaziah. She took her own nephew, Yoash, she stole him from the middle of the house of the king, Hamu Masim, that were being killed. Also, Nikto, him as well as his nursemaid, Bachadar Amitos, and they hid them, right, in a certain room. They hid him from Athaliah, and he did not die. Now, the question is, where exactly was this room? Some say this is a room in the Beis HaMikdash where the Kohanim used to sleep. Now, around the Heichal, you know, there are no pictures around here, I can't show it, but around the Heichal, yeah, they have it?
The pictures are in Talmud here?
Beautiful. This is,
This is the second.
If you look right around here, we learned about it by Shlomo Melech. These areas right here, the chambers, remember this was three stories tall. There were tons of rooms in there, and there were tons of lishkos underneath. There were tunnels that went underneath the Beis HaMikdash. There was tons of places where you could hide. And nobody thought to look over there. They brought Yehoash all the way into the Kodesh, and they hid him over there. Now the reason why she had access to the room is Yosheba was married to Yoyada, the Kohen Gadol. That's who Yosheba was married to. That's what it says in the Divrei Yamin. Since she was married to Yoyada, the Kohen Gadol at the time, there was a tremendous tzaddik, one of only 18 Kohanim Gedolim that were there during the times of the first Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, they had access to those areas. Others say that even those rooms were checked by Athaliah to go look for him. Instead, they put him on top of the Kodesh HaKadoshim in an area that is only used for people to be able to fix the Kodesh HaKadoshim when it needs to be fixed. That's the only thing that they use it in.
When it ever needs to be fixed.
Well, there are things that happen. Why would there are things that happen in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So when people, they are lowered inside, so that's that.
No,
I'm sorry.
Job.
She was really searching everywhere. Why would she care?
She never thought that they would put him in such a place.
Who can put him on top of the Kodesh HaKadoshim inside the Kohen Gadol?
No, anybody could. Anybody's allowed to.
Don't they get lowered in a box that's enclosed on all three sides?
Exactly. So they go through it. And have to be published, etc. Yeah.
But the Kohen Gadol would only know if it needs repair once a year. He has to go in there when he's in there with the smoke in it, and then he's going to look for repairs.
He goes with the Ketoret and a
checklist. How does anybody know it needs a repair?
That's a great question. I guess they knew they could see from the outside or whatever it is. You know,
God sent him a message.
If I miss things repaired,
we're dealing with the DM.
And nothing needs to be repaired.
Seriously. I don't understand why we're, you know, it's like, no way, this can't be. Anyway, some people, by the way, reconcile both of these answers. In the summer, he was put on top of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. In the winter, they put him on the bottom in one of the chambers that were on the bottom over there, and that's where they ended up putting him. So you could say that it was both at the exact same time. There's no steer to this whatsoever. Here we go, Pasuk Gimel. Right? So he was with her, we'll see you, Dave. But he was with her in the house of Hashem, hiding for 6 years altogether. Okay, so this means that Yehoash was there, but Asaliah Malach Zalor. At this time, Asaliah was queen over the entire land. Bashan Hashviz in the seventh year, Shal Yoyada Vayikach Asari Ameos. So Yoyada sent for all the officers of hundreds, Lakari, right, for all the head people, Bilal Ratsim, and the runners. The Yavo Zamei LaBeis Hashem, he brought them all to the Beis HaMikdash. Vayichos Lahem Bris, Vayashbosam LaBeis Hashem. He made a bris with them, and he swore them to secrecy in the house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vayarosam as Ben HaMelech. And then he showed them the son of the king, and he showed them Yoash. Now, well, these are military warriors, the high class, the top class. We don't know exactly what this is, but either way, Vayetzaveim Lemor, he commanded them saying, Zadavar Shartasun, right, this is what you're going to do. Hashlishis Mikem Boya Shabbos, right, a third of you are going to come this week, the Shomrei Mishmaris Beis HaMelech, you are going to keep guard at the king's house. Mashlishis Bishar Sur, a third of you are going to be at the gate of Sur. I don't know what that was in the Beis HaMikdash, it doesn't say. Mashlishis Bishar Achar Rotzim, and a third of you are going to be in another gate, right behind the runners, with Shmartim. You were going to keep guard at the temple, at the Beis HaMikdash itself, around that area. Two-thirds of you, Kol Yotzei HaShabbos, are going to be the people that are supposed to leave this week. Remember, the Kohanim exchanged their Mishmaros at the end of Shabbos, right? Two-thirds of you.
Mishmaros two groups. I don't know.
Yeah, well, that's what it is, right? Those two out of the three groups. And you're going to guard, right, the house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning the Beis HaMikdash, by the king. I want you to surround the king. Each man should have their weapons in their hands. Whoever comes in the ranks, you must. should be killed before they can get to the king. The U.S. They should be with the king when he goes out and when he comes, said no one should go anywhere near. They didn't know how many people were going to be on Asalia's side or how many people were going to be on Yoash's side. There were still people who remembered that the kings were out there, but maybe they think the whole thing was a ruse. Everybody thought that Dovid HaMelech's children were all dead, that everybody was gone, and that the only person left was Asalia. That's what everyone thought. They thought, what are we going to do? Dovid HaMelech's kids are all completely gone. So the fact that they come up, they're like, oh, we got a guy. Where'd that guy come from? Oh, we saved him. We put him in the base of Mikdash. No way. People are going to deny that this is the real king. These soldiers were not really soldiers. They were really Kohanim. There were Kohanim that worked with the Oyada, who may have known a little bit beforehand, but now knew the absolute truth. These were the people that he now put in charge. You know, around there. I'm sure there were other rich people and other guards as well, some Levian as well, but they were right around there, correct. So, Pasuk Tes. We ask the story of Meos Kohoshet to Oyada Kohen. Whatever Oyada Kohen told them, they did it. Each one took their men, the people that were coming that week, in Yotzei Shabbos, together with the people that were leaving that week. They came over to Oyada the Kohen. They wouldn't leave. The Kohanim were all there. You had two mishmaros of Kohanim that were there. But the Kohen gave the officers, the hundreds, at the Hanis, all spears, that's a shlatim, and the shields, the Shalom Al David Shavir Hashem, all the shields that David Melech had. I'm sorry?
Isn't Hanit a sword? It's a spear of her?
A cheret is normally a sword. Hanit is usually a spear. Here it says spear. Over here it says spear. Okay, but the question is, so what does it mean by the shields? Remember, David Melech did make shields. They were put all the way in the bottom. They were golden shields. Shlomo Melech, remember, made it out of a different type of gold. They were more ornamental than they were actual weapons because they were made with a softer type of gold. Others say that the only spear that they actually had was the spear of Goliath. And it just stood for, you know, power and everything. But they had other weapons that were there. Each man of those runners stood with his Caleb in his hand. From the right side of the base of Israel to the left side of the base of Israel, they all surrounded the king. They brought out the son of the king, and they put the crown on his head, as well as the sefer Torah that he's supposed to have. They made him king, and they anointed him, and they shook their, clapped their hands. Long live the king! They made a lot of noise. Yoyada was a Navi. That's first of all. Yoyada was a Navi aside from everything else. He was also the Kohen Gadol. But the Kohen Gadol can also anoint a king. So you are allowed to have a Kohen Gadol do it.
He's automatically king.
Because he's the only one.
Don't you still need to have an anointing?
So it's funny. Halachically, no. You don't need an anointing by any king that automatically is the next king. For example, Shlomo only got it because of Adoni Yahu. Right? That was the only reason why. Other people got it because of that. So that's the reason why he got it, because of Asalia. And that's exactly what the Gemara says. Because of Asalia, they anointed him, but it was not necessary. It was not necessary to give him the Shem and the Mishkan. They did have it. Also, the crown was important, because remember, the kings of David and Melech's house all had a specially shaped head. And I don't know what that means exactly, but they had like certain spot in their head where you put down the crown and the crown fit exactly. But not everyone had that head. In order to fit it, you had to have a certain shape that would be perfect to be able to fit it. It doesn't work otherwise. So I don't know what the shape was, but that shape was owned by Yoshua.
The guy was born there, as his mother said.
Apparently that never happened. So I don't know if you want to call that Ashkaka or whatever it was, but the crown always fit those people, was the same crown from Dovid HaMelech.
Right, you're going to call it coincidence.
God would call it not that way. Right, Darwin would be agree with you. So Asalia heard the sound of the runners over here, right, the people, and she came to the people, to the house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. She said, what's going on over here? But hey, right, she had not even an inkling of what was going on.
How long did she rule for?
6.5 years.
So let's say she did Haka. Is she allowed to?
That's funny.
It doesn't seem like she cared very much about Haka.
I would doubt she did it. I wouldn't doubt she did it at that point. You either did it or they didn't do it.
For egalitarian menu.
Or is she the only
woman do Haka?
Maybe it was Erev Haka. That's why they decided it's time.
We can't have a queen, but we don't have them as...
But I've been to two times or three times they did it as Erev Haka, the Kodol.
Right, Rebbe Gadya read it.
So a woman can be...
You know, this is for the Mitzvah Chinuch. We'd have to check out the Mitzvah Chinuch and check out that. It's the last Mitzvah, so... In theory, it's the only person that's left in David Melech's house, but...
Wait, what?
2001 and 2008.
So I don't remember if the Chassanuch mentions that as a mitzvah or if it's mentioned before that. I don't remember. Hakel is one of the last. It's not the last, it's the second to last mitzvah. Like Hira, she saw the king was standing on his platform in the regular way. There were officers and trumpets to the king, and all the people were happy. They're blowing on shofars. She tore her clothing. She called out loud, "Conspiracy! Conspiracy!" Like everybody's having a party, and Talia like walks in, and they're like, "Hey, we got a king!" It's unbelievable what just happened over here. Tom Yoyada commanded the officers 100. It's Kudiachayel, the officers of war. Bring her out of the way of all the ranks. Anybody who follows her, kill them by the sword. Because the Kohen said, I don't want anybody dying in the house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, it's not only that they didn't want blood spilled in the Beis HaMikdash. You're allowed to kill in the Beis HaMikdash if that's what's necessary. Okay, you are allowed to. But it's not necessarily, because the tumo goes straight up. There's no thing on top to be able to, there's no oil.
Someone's got to move the body and everything.
And that's definitely true. Now, that's there. But it's another thing. Dying in a Kadosh area allows you to have a little bit of Kedusha. You didn't even want that Kedusha to go to a Salyut. You didn't deserve to have it. Plus, it's Tazayin. But you see what we got dying.
Why didn't they take her down earlier? I'm kind of confused.
I think that she had power. But the people were waiting for something, and I'm assuming that they were waiting for Yoash to be old enough to be able to be the actual king. I'm assuming.
He's only 7 years old at this point. It's not exactly the...
He was a little bit older. He wasn't that old. He's only a dying. They made room for him. She came by the way, the horse's entrance, right? Based on Malafi, the house of the palace. But she was killed there. Remember, the king's palace was right outside. Your David was right outside. Based on Mikdash, she was killed there. He made a whole bris between everybody today and to Brisim. There would be a people for HaKadosh Baruch Hu between the king and the people. In other words, they would wipe out idolatry. And remember, Yoyada HaKohen is a tremendous tzaddik. He told Yehoash that your job in this world is going to be to destroy all the Avodah Zarah, to try to reunite everybody. All the people of the land came toward the house of Baal, and they broke it down. So apparently Baal was even popular in Yusha, around the environs of Yehuda, not just by Malchus Yisrael. They broke down his Mizbechos of that slum of the idols, Shibru Hetev, they broke them down very, very well. Matan, Kohen Baal, Horgu L'Pnei Mizbechos. Matan, the priest of the Baal, they killed in front of the Mizbechos, Yasama Kohen, Pekudos of Beis Hashem, and then the priest put appointees, other people, on the house of Hashem, like the Mishmaros. I guess the Mishmaros had not been working so well. He made the real Mishmaros and brought them back. Now, I don't know how Matan deserved to get his name put inside the Navi, but that's amazing. Now, this guy must have had some sort of like somehow he's like, oh, by the way, Matan, as if anybody would have any idea who that was 200 years later when Malachim was written. I have no idea how he made it in, but nonetheless, this is a weird one though, because this is like, they killed all the priests of Baal and they're just like, and Matan.
He's
a chashuva guy. Like, you got the story on nails. That's a kari. That's a rasim. So he took the officers of hundreds and the guys in charge and the runners. That's kol ma'aretz. They brought down the king from the house of Yavodar Shara Rasim. They brought him to the gates of where the runners came in, where the kohanim came in, Beis Hamelach, toward the house of the king. They sat him down on the throne of the king. All the people of the land were happy. The city was quiet. That's a Salya. What about a Salya? They killed her by sword, right, by the house of the king. Their joy was not complete until Asalya was dead. Apparently Asalya was a very scary person. Yeah, she must have been somebody who was very... Again, she's from Achav, so what, she wasn't...
I mean, she's not exactly your typical Jewish grandmother going around killing all of her.
But yeah, that's not exactly what a Bavli does. Usually it's not what a Bavli does. Let's start parking at Bezerir. You're 7 years old, you're correct. It seems like he was a little bit older when he was born, but anyway, he's 7 years old, Yehoash, when he was king. Now, here's the interesting question. And that means he had a nursemaid, right? The nursemaid was also on top of the Kodesh Kodesh. The nursemaid was also brought up there.
Oh, the Kohanim took care of him.
Well, they had to feed him.
Well, for 2 years.
How do you get milk?
So for 2 years, she was there.
2 years.
Formula.
No, they didn't have formula.
I don't know. It says nursemaid, so it wasn't his mother, I guess.
I wonder also, hold on. Where did he go to the bathroom? You can't go to the bathroom on top of the Kodesh Kodashim.
She wasn't there.
He wasn't. He wasn't sitting there for 7 years in the same spot. She didn't have guards there. She looked around. He wasn't there. So
they brought him down eventually. You got to be careful because people talk.
In the compound.
People talk.
He was on top of the Kodesh Kodashim like a big
corner one sheet.
What?
Corner one sheet.
Oh, and you know another reason I just thought why he might have let him out. They revealed him now. If he gets too old, he won't be able to get tummy, and he won't be able to stay in the base of Migdash.
Oh, Shabbat, there you mean.
Right.
That's interesting.
Why can't you bring him on top of the... Why can't he go to the bathroom on top of the cushion?
Yeah, but he's...
Clearly, you answer your own question. In the seventh year of Yehu, that's when Yehoash became king. That's interesting also. That means in the seventh year of Yehu, when Yehu became king, that's when Yehoash was born, which is around the exact same time. Right? That does make sense. He was king for 40 years in Yerushalayim. He died at 47. Shemi was Tzibya, Biber Shava. His mother's name was Tzibya, from Be'er Sheva. Okay, now remember, Tzibya, she must have been a righteous woman. Yoyada obviously gets the real credit because she obviously did not know Tzibya very well, right? Not at all whatsoever. I wonder, hey, is this the origin of the name Tzvi? And it's really from a female?
No, I mean, no.
Who's a Tzvi in Tanakh?
Same, what about... Didn't your brother marry him?
Tibia, yeah. No, but I'm saying, is there a real?
Yeah.
No. I'm saying, is the origin of the word Tzvi just come from the word Tibia?
That's.
I really, because there is no Tzvi in Tanakh. Tzvi is a shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's name number 52 in the Baal HaSur of Parshas Baal Oscha. Eretz HaTzvi, right. But it's not a name of a person. The only person named in Tanakh is Tzvi. This is a question for Ruchayim Knievsky. Let's look around for it.
Can we make fun of you now that you're a girl's name?
Yeah, follow that. I'm a righteous woman. All right, here we go. Shemi lo Tzibya mi Be'er Sheva. She came from Be'er Sheva. Now remember, Tzibya must have married. I'm assuming that she married Achaziah, and that was Achaziah's wife, right? That makes sense, right?
Where's this? Here's the Tzadikas.
It will right here, right? Shame. Oh no! It's fun to me on the way that brings it down, right? That brings it down. But Yas Yehoshua Yashar Bein Hashem Kol Yomav. Yeah, Yehoshua did the right thing in the eyes of Hashem all of his days. Asher who wrote Yoyada Cohen that Yoyada Cohen taught him to do. We have a diak there that only while Yoyada was alive was Yehoshua tzaddik. Rakabamos lo saru oda am mizabchol mekachem bamos. But he did not remove the bamos. The people were still sacrificing and giving ketores on top of bamos.
I think the Cohen Gadol would be on top of that.
I think that might have been impossible. Possible. Considering the amount of bumbles that each person had, and we're talking about private areas, you would have to go to every single person's house and remove each one of those bumbles. And all you have to do is go to the backyard. Hey, are you doing bumbles? I'm just making a barbecue, dude. There's a barbecue.
But it ended up being like a bumble. It must have been like a type of a
Vodazari. There was no shoals. You wanted to dive and you had to go to the base of Mikdash. Of course they wanted to make a bumble. This is our way of showing I'm close
to but God said I don't want it, so you're going to do like it's like...
Yeah, it's what people
who do things for God, but they're doing it.
Agree. This is wrong. There's no question whatsoever. And that's what's going to be over here. It is interesting over here. Okay, that's that. By the way, there's a difference between lamud and hora. Lamud means training in a way that the student eventually will be able to do it on his own. Hora means teach them direction or guidance, but the person will not be able to do it without the other person around. A Rebbe really should be a malamed Torah to teach the person to be able to do it on their own after the Rebbe is gone. If the Rebbe can't do that, then he's failed at limud, even though he was hora correctly.
What does it tell us that parents are called
holy? That's cute. I don't know. Okay, anyway.
They found a bummer recently near Mozart.
They found one like in around that area. You'd imagine that there's so many. Raka Bumbles were so royal. Okay, so that's what it says over there. Altogether, Yoyada was an old man. He was 130 when he passed away. So Baruch Hashem, he was there for quite a long time. Remember, 18 Kohanim Gedolim during the entire time of the Beis HaMikdash, the first Beis HaMikdash. That means that everybody lived a very long time. The Kohanim Gedolim became Kohanim Gedolim at a very young age and lived a while.
18, they were there. I mean, it was, 410 years? Was it?
410 years. Oh, well, no, I'm sorry. I believe, I got to check for tomorrow. It's around Daf Ches or Daf Tes. No, it's 18 from the Mishkan all the way up, meaning it includes
Mishkan
and Elazar. Yeah,
in Aaron,
Pentecost and Elazar count. They're part of the 18 that are mentioned. If I remember correctly, we'd have to check the Gemara. It's Tosos that mentions the 18 names.
That's like an average right 50 years, a little bit less.
Yeah, 800 and 850 years, something like that. Yeah, it will go that way. Okay, the reason why his name was Yoash is that people had despaired that there was any children left by David HaMelech. Menachem, Yeush is the thing. Yeush is what we say about Tov Nitzio when you give up hope. Kesef Over, right? All the money of the holy things that are brought into the Beis HaMikdash, right? Kesef Over, it's all money that people have to bring. Ish Kesef Nafshos Erko, they bring their value. Kol Kesef Yalo, Lev Ish, Lahavi Veshem, all the money that people decide they want to give to the Beis HaMikdash. So whether it's voluntary or obligatory money. Yichulam HaKohanim Ish Meiz Makaro. No, here's the first plan. Each coin should take it from the people that they know. The Kohanim should use it to strengthen the Bedek HaBayis, wherever they find needs of repair that would be there. In other words, you guys should collect the money, right, and then keep it for yourselves, and whenever something needs to be repaired, you use your own money to repair it. Now, that was a solid plan, meaning the Kohanim would therefore be very wealthy, right, but they'd use their money for the repairs in the basement, they wouldn't ask for any other help, and that was the idea. The problem was that, the reason why he needed help, by the way, is because Asalia had damaged it as they had gone around, and that's the reason why. The problem was, is that the Kohanim ended up having to spend more money on the repairs than was donated to them, to which they lost money on the deal, and that was a problem. The 23rd year of the King Yoash, for some reason, they weren't strengthening the Bedek HaBayis. He called over to Yodah, the Kohen Gadol, and the Kohanim, and Yemar Elam. Why aren't you doing it? Now, you shouldn't take any money from your friends. It should go straight to the Bedek HaBayis. So we asked them why they weren't doing it, and the answer they gave was, we're spending more money than what we're getting. People aren't donating enough. So he said, okay, fine. Then instead, the money's going to go straight to Bedek HaBayis. The Kohanim will still continue to get their Truma. You'll still get your Korbanos. You'll still get the other things that you get, the 24 Matnas Kuna. But when it comes to this money is going to have to go straight to the Bedek HaBayis itself.
Why would that fix anything?
All the money goes straight to the Bedek HaBayis to be able to spend. So when they're missing, they're not taking anything from the Kohanim, they'll know they have to gain more.
Yeah.
What?
That system was already in place. They had those three boxes.
That's interesting. I believe the Shkalim were made by the second Beis HaMikdash, because that was made by Ezra Nehemiah. I think that's where it was made, because they were the ones who made the boxes. But I don't know. I don't remember it before there. Yeah. So let's do two more psukim over here. The Kohanim agreed. They're not going to take any more money from the people. They wouldn't be in charge of the fixings, the repairings. By the way, it wouldn't be smart anyway for people who learn Torah all day to be in charge of fixing the Beis HaMikdash. Hitting their fingers on their own hammers. I'm sure they weren't the best people to do it. So Yod HaKohen took one box. And he went ahead and made a hole inside the door. So he put it by the Mizbeach on the right hand side. When people would come in the Beis HaMikdash, and also Shema Kohanim, Shomrei Asaf, is called Kasamuva Beis Hashem. Then the Kohanim would come there, the people would guard it, they would put the money inside there, which makes sense. They would put money inside there for there to be. So there would be one for the taller people, one for the tummy people, but that would be the origin of the boxes, the lishkos that were used later on for this stuff. But that's the idea behind it. We'll end with this. When they saw that there was enough money in the Tzedakah box, so the Kohen Gadol and the king would go and they would wrap up the money, they would count the money that would be found in the Beis HaMikdash, and they would go ahead and bring it over to make sure that everything was labeled and put in whatever it is, and that would be given over to the king itself. Alright, we're now on Pasuk Yud Beis. Unbelievable.